I went on a lovely tour of the Broderers Guild in Norwich Cathedral recently, and afterwards I spoke to Helen Jenkins about her work there.
Hello everyone. I know you, most of you like coming to the cathedral, and there's always something new going on when you come in here. But I've come to a very unusual little part of the building. It's called the Prior's Hall, and it's tucked away, and you need somebody to come and unlock the door for you. And it is the centre of the Broderers Guild. And I'm here with Helen Jenkins, who's in charge of that guild, and I hope she's going to tell us something about the work that she's done. And I think to begin with, we ought to know what the word broderer means. Have you any ideas?
The word broderer is a medieval word, and it just means stitching.
Stitching. Oh, that's fairly basic then.
Yes.
It sounds as though it might be to do with embroidery, but...
I think there's a subtle difference between embroidery, which is embellishment,
yes,
and the actual functional stitching.
Okay. Oh, well, cleared that one up. And how did you get to be here? I understand you've been some time. You've been here in post...
18 years.
18 years?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. I just saw a very small advert in the paper. After we'd moved here for 3 weeks, I saw a very small advert and for a workshop supervisor. And when I saw what the job was, I thought, that's my job.
You've done this sort of thing before, presumably. Yes.
Oh, yes. I trained as a textile designer.
Oh, did you?
And I also taught for several years as well.
Okay.
Before doing this type of work.
Okay.
And I did a number of courses as well after I trained. And really, it was sort of a bringing together of lots of different skills.
Yes, I can see that. Yes, that's really good. Who set up the guild and when did it come into being?
Well, we started in 1998.
Yes, obviously.
And the guild was set up by Stephen Platten, who was the Dean of the Cathedral at the time.
Oh, yes, I think many listeners will remember.
Yes.
Stephen. And so that was 1988, right. What do you do for the cathedral? What work do you do for the cathedral? Because I know you do other stuff as well.
We do, and we look after all of the textiles here. So that might well be a frontal, or it could be vestments, which are the clothes that the priests wear. We also do the mundane things, because a lot of people think that we just do really lovely, beautiful work all the time. But in fact, if one of the vergers needs to have a hem put up, then that's our job. And we certainly do a lot of work with the choir boys as well, making sure that their robes are the right length and in, you know, good condition.
Yes, they can vary a lot, can't they, in
they
height?
They can indeed, yes. They can indeed. And, of course, during the year they grow as well.
Yes, of course. And when I came on the tour, I saw some people mending the kneeling mats.
Yes,
is that part, that's obviously part of your...
Oh, yes, it
regular,
is.
Regular, that's mundane stuff.
That's an ongoing thing.
Yes.
We've had, in the past, we've had the D-rings and the tapes go, and so they get replaced, and then also the linings go as well.
So that keeps you busy, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you work every day?
We work 2 days a week, on
right.
Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Right. Thank you. And I know that you do work for other organisations as well. What are those?
Well, all of our work is ecclesiastical.
Oh, right.
But we do work for is both Norwich Diocese, and we do a lot of work in North Suffolk as well. And we have had projects from Dorset, Somerset.
Really?
And these come through visitors to the cathedral who perhaps see a frontal that we've got, and then they inquire from us as to where we got it from, and we
yes.
say, well, we made it, and so therefore we can do the same sort of thing for them.
Obviously very impressive.
Oh, yes.
yes, that's lovely. What are some of the oldest pieces that you've worked on? I know when I came on the tour you were doing something incredibly old.
Well, actually, that was probably the oldest one that we've worked on, and
oh,
that
is it?
Was for Sibton, which was a beaded frontal.
Yes.
And that's a lovely frontal. And that dates from about 1780.
Good heavens, yes.
And it did need a lot of TLC.
And what did you do to it?
We had to, it had a lot of glass beads on it, and these were very, very fine tubes, little white tubes of beads, and they were all falling off. And so basically we had to sort of sit and stitch and put them back on again. And also a lot of patching of the background fabric.
Oh, right. I can imagine the needles must have been exceedingly fine.
Well, they were, and yes, that was one of the problems, in terms of if you've got a needle which is fine enough to go through the bead, then it's very difficult to thread, really difficult to thread.
Yes, yes.
And we think, we worked out that in fact probably how they got the beads on there in the first place is that they had somebody using a very a fine waxed linen thread, and they threaded the beads onto the linen thread, and then they were then couched on or stitched on afterwards, and that's how they actually got the beads on.
Okay, but
there's a weakness there, because of course it makes it easier for them all to fall off at the end when they do break.
Of course. Oh dear, it's a sort of ongoing thing, isn't it? And what's the most fragile? Do you think that was the most fragile one as well? Where did you say that came from? Sorry,
That was from Sibton, which is in North Suffolk.
Okay.
Yeah. The most fragile piece wasn't that one. That one was actually fairly robust. And I think but the most fragile ones tend to be the fine silk, Victorian silk, whether it's a frontal or a chasuble or whatever. And what happens with the silk is the silk dries out over the years, then it cracks, and it just cracks away, it just disappears. And if it's silk velvet, then the velvet pile, will just turn to dust.
Oh, not a lot you can do about that, is there?
There's not, actually. And certainly, very recently, we worked on the cathedral's Red Cross banner, the 1919 Red Cross banner, and we had an exhibition and we were putting it up for display, and in fact looking at the back of it, that was in a very sorry state, and that had to have extensive repair work even before we actually put it up on display.
To put it out, yes. Heavens. What about the new pieces that you work on? How do you where are you the designer? Do you do the design for them, or does somebody else?
It's a mix. For the new pieces, and about half of our work is new work, sometimes the design just evolves. So, for example, the church will come to me and say, we want a new frontal. You know, we've got these are our thoughts on it, and then we work together to actually achieve a result. Other times, and for that, I will be the person that will be doing the design work. But we do work with, certainly there's one designer, Renata Malinsky, who has designed things, and then we've taken and developed the design from quite a small scale. So you're talking about maybe 1/5 scale, so very small.
A sketch, is that?
Yes, and then take that actually up into a frontal that could be, you know, 6 foot long. And sometimes I do actually do things right from the very start, but it's always helpful if people have got an idea about what they want begin with when they come and see us.
I can see that. You've got a team of volunteers working with you, haven't you? Mm. Where do you find them? How do they get to you?
They tend to find us, actually.
Oh, right.
And sometimes they come as a result of joining on a tour. And I think probably most of the ladies are retired or semi-retired, and of course they have a bit more time and think, what would we like to do? And perhaps they've been very, very keen hobbyists. Generally, I would say cross-stitchers tend to make good volunteers.
Yes.
Because they're very meticulous and they've got fine needlework skills. But we also have people who've been professionally trained as well.
Oh.
So it's a real mix of backgrounds.
Yes, that's very good. And they do 2 days a week? Do they all do two?
They would do 1 day a week.
Right.
And we have the odd volunteer who does a half day.
Yes.
But for the main, they work a full day, and some of them have been with us for the whole 18 years.
Really? Oh, yes. That's excellent. Yeah. Recommendation.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Very good. Obviously enjoying their work. I came when I was on the tour, and I saw the very first stitches being put into a new cape.
Yes, you did.
It was for a new dean.
Yes.
Tell us just a little bit about that.
Well, this is a new red cope for the dean. And
the colours signify different seasons, don't they?
Yes, it does. I mean, a red cope would be worn during the... we have red season, we have green, we have Lent, we have Advent. So okay. Advent, for example, is purple. Sometimes Lent is purple, but other times it's depending on if you're in a smaller church or if you're in the cathedral, then we use the sort of oatmeal coloured for Lent. Green is on for about 6 months of the year. And therefore, we very rarely see a green frontal coming in for repair because they've been out in use and they've generally fallen to pieces a long, long time ago. But the new red cope that we're doing will fit the dean, who's actually, you know, she's quite a petite woman, as opposed to our previous dean, who was about 6 foot. And it's perhaps one of the... not a compromise as such, but certainly one of the adaptations that we have to make now with women priests coming in is that we do actually need to think about, you know, one size doesn't fit all.
No, absolutely.
And
I'm
therefore
sure
we need to do a little bit more on that.
Yeah, it's probably something that we hadn't thought about, but we met Jane Hedges on Chat Around quite recently.
Yeah.
She came and talked to us, so we know who you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Helen, honestly, thank you very much for that. That's a terrific experience that you have, and it's a lovely experience. It was for me to come and look at the work, and it's just astonishing, the fineness of the work that is being done, and it's lovely to think that it's going on in this day and age. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Well, thank you.